The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So I have a very simple question for you, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So happy to have you with us today. So here's the question. There are many, many women across the fruited plain who have made the decision that they wanted to stay home. They believe that their place was in the home, to be a homemaker, to be a domestic goddess, if you will, to raise the children, to tend to the affairs of the house. And for generations, by the way, that was traditionally what women did. I think into the, you know, the post-World War II era in America, you had women, more women going into the workplace. And then you had the whole feminist movement of the late 60s, early 70s. And now it's a free-for-all where, in many cases, you don't have anybody at home. Nobody's raising the kids. Nobody's cooking the meals. Nobody's doing the laundry. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, because Harrison Butker, the Kansas City Chiefs kicker, this young man in his late 20s, and he has caused a national uproar. There's just vast outrage over a commencement address he delivered at a small private Catholic school in Kansas. And he touched on a lot of the hot button issues for these graduates. And this was not a mean-spirited address. This was not delivered in anger, or it wasn't delivered with a mocking tone. The young man simply shared his beliefs, and now he's catching holy you-know-what for this. And Harrison Butker, in his commencement address, suggested that being a homemaker is a vocation. Just like being the female president of, you know, a major corporation. And he said that is something that is noble. And that is something, well, you know what, we're just going to play it for you so you can hear what Harris Butker had to say about young ladies. Cut number two.
Ladies and gentlemen of the class of 2024, you are sitting at the edge of the rest of your lives. Each of you has the potential to leave a legacy that transcends yourselves and this era of human existence. In the small ways, by living out your vocation, you will ensure that God's church continues and the world is enlightened by your example. For the ladies present today, congratulations on an amazing accomplishment. You should be proud of all that you have achieved to this point in your young lives. I want to speak directly to you briefly because I think it is you, the women, who have had the most diabolical lies told to you. How many of you are sitting here now about to cross this stage and are thinking about all the promotions and titles you are going to get in your career? Some of you may go on to lead successful careers in the world, but I would venture to guess that the majority of you are most excited about your marriage and the children you will bring into this world. I can tell you that my beautiful wife, Isabel, would be the first to say that her life truly started when she began living her vocation as a wife and as a mother. I'm on this stage today and able to be the man I am because I have a wife who leans into her vocation. I'm beyond blessed with the many talents God has given me, but it cannot be overstated that all of my success is made possible because a girl I met in band class back in middle school would convert to the faith, become my wife, and embrace one of the most important titles of all, homemaker.
Now, I don't know about you, but I heard a young man, I think he's 28 years old, I heard the voice of a young man who loves, deeply loves and honors and admires his wife. And ladies, I think that is a great thing. Gentlemen, I think that you would want to aspire to love your wife like Harrison Butker loves his wife. It's beautiful. Did you have a problem with anything this young man said? And do you believe that being a homemaker is a vocation, just like going and being a secretary or being the executive of a company? So all you know what is breaking loose, and it's not just because of that. I mean, he went all in here. He went all in. As a matter of fact, he even talked about President Biden, cut number four.
Bad policies and poor leadership have negatively impacted major life issues. Things like abortion, IVF, surrogacy, euthanasia, as well as a growing support for degenerate cultural values in media, all stem from the pervasiveness of disorder. Our own nation is led by a man who publicly and proudly proclaims his Catholic faith, but at the same time is delusional enough to make the sign of the cross during a pro-abortion rally. He has been so vocal in his support for the murder of innocent babies that I'm sure to many people, it appears that you can be both Catholic and pro-choice. He is not alone. From the man behind the COVID lockdowns to the people pushing dangerous gender ideologies onto the youth of America, they all have a glaring thing in common. They are Catholic. This is an important reminder that being Catholic alone doesn't cut it. These are the sorts of things we are told in polite society to not bring up. You know, the difficult and unpleasant things. But if we are going to be men and women for this time in history, we need to stop pretending that the Church of Nice is a winning proposition. We must always speak and act in charity, but never mistake charity for cowardice. It is safe to say that over the past few years, I've gained quite the reputation for speaking my mind. I never envisioned myself nor wanted to have this sort of a platform, but God has given it to me, so I have no other choice but to embrace it and preach more hard truths about accepting your lane and staying in it.
Well, that sounds like some pretty darn good advice and a pretty good observation of Catholic, so-called Catholic Joe Biden by an actual practicing Catholic. And then there's one more piece of audio here I want you to listen to, because he also had some advice for young men. And I think this may have been what actually sent everyone over the edge. Cut number five.
It is only in the past few years that I have grown in courage to speak more boldly and directly, because as I mentioned earlier, I have leaned into my vocation as a husband and father and as a man. To the gentleman here today, part of what plagues our society is this lie that has been told to you that men are not necessary in the home or in our communities. As men, we set the tone of the culture, and when that is absent, disorder, dysfunction, and chaos set in. This absence of men in the home is what plays a large role in the violence we see all around the nation. Other countries do not have nearly the same absentee father rates as we find here in the U.S., and a correlation could be made in their drastically lower violence rates as well. Be unapologetic in your masculinity, fighting against the cultural emasculation of men. Do hard things. Never settle for what is easy. You might have a talent that you don't necessarily enjoy, but if it glorifies God, maybe you should lean into that over something that you might think suits you better. I speak from experience as an introvert who now finds myself as an amateur public speaker and an entrepreneur. Something I never thought I'd be when I received my industrial engineering degree. The road ahead is bright. Things are changing, society is shifting, and people young and old are embracing tradition. Not only has it been my vocation that has helped me and those closest to me, but not surprising to many of you, should be my outspoken embrace of the traditional Latin Mass. I've been very vocal in my love and devotion to the TLM and its necessity for our lives. But what I think gets misunderstood is that people who attend the TLM do so out of pride or preference. I can speak to my own experience, but for most people I have come across within these communities, this simply is not true. I do not attend the TLM because I think I am better than others, or for the smells and bells, or even for the love of Latin. I attend the TLM because I believe, just as the God of the Old Testament was pretty particular in how he wanted to be worshipped, the same holds true for us today. It is through the TLM that I encountered order and began to pursue it in my own life.
And there you go. That is Harrison Butker's Christian worldview, all summed up here in the first few moments of this program. And as a result of this, Harrison is now facing a seething mob. As a matter of fact, the NFL came out and issued a statement condemning Harrison, and they said that they don't share those values. The NFL says they're all about inclusion. But clearly, inclusion doesn't include people who are pro-life or pro-family or pro-Christian or pro-Catholic. Those people are clearly not representative of the NFL's value system. As a matter of fact, the NFL's chief diversity, equity, and inclusion officer went on to say that they value inclusion more than anything else. Well, if that's the case, I have a simple question for the NFL. Where are all of the female linebackers? And where are all of the female quarterbacks? Where are they? Where are all of your transgender players, NFL? By the way, the NFL also hates America. Just a reminder, just one of the, I know we've sort of forgotten the whole take a knee thing. I know that. But they've never really repented for all of that. But I want to go back to Harrison Butker, because they're the entire city of Kansas City. So Kansas City City Hall, they actually posted a tweet doxing this young man's information. It was deleted, and then they apologized this morning, but it's already out there. In other words, they want the mob to show up at this guy's house. There is a petition, over 100,000 people, over 100,000 people have signed a petition calling for this man to be fired for what you just heard him say. One of the people writing on this petition, they said the comments are harmful, they're unacceptable, his comments are sexist, homophobic, anti-trans, anti-abortion, and racist. These dehumanizing remarks against gay people, attacks on abortion rights, and racial discrimination perpetuate division and undermine human rights. Where did the guy say anything about race? Oh, he's white. I got it. Never mind. These comments reinforce harmful stereotypes that threaten social progress. They create a toxic environment. It's unacceptable for such a public. Here we go. It's unacceptable for such a public figure to use their platform to foster harm rather than unity. We demand accountability from our sports figures, who should be role models promoting respect for all peoples, regardless of their race, gender, identity, or sexual orientation. We call upon the Kansas City Chiefs to dismiss Harrison Butker immediately for his inappropriate content or conduct. Now, let me say something here. Kansas City Chiefs, they're owned by Christians, devout Christians. And it's time for the devout Christian owners of the Kansas City Chiefs to come out and make a statement and defend Harrison. Why are they silent? Why does this 28-year-old young man have to stand out here and face the mob all by himself? But I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, you just heard what this young man had to say. Do you find anything repulsive or offensive by what Harrison Butker delivered to those graduates at Benedictine College? So our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And I want to break this down. I'm curious, especially with you ladies out there, do you consider homemaking to be a vocation? Got to take a break. We'll be right back. You might have heard Mike Lindell of MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of the cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, $25. Brand-new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. And for the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping, too. This amazing offer won't last long, so go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 today. That's promo code STARNS.
¶¶
All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us today. And again, I will say this about Harrison Butker. It seems to me you would want somebody like that in the NFL. I mean, look at all of the NFL players out there, and there have been many who've been smacking around their women, beating the women, raping, assaulting women, committing all sorts of mayhem, and those guys are okay, right? The NFL's okay with that kind of behavior. But heaven forbid an NFL player gets out there, and we saw this with Tim Tebow. Remember that years ago when Tebow would take a knee to pray, and all you know what broke loose? You had all of the woke sports reporters, everybody going after Tebow. It made no sense to me. But I'm telling you, it just seems to me that Harrison Buckner is onto something here. And I do wonder if these younger Generation Zers are finally coming to terms and they're seeing the reality of what happens when you have an anything-goes immoral society, right? I mean, there was a time, and just ask yourself this question. And I want to be very careful with how you interpret what I'm about to say. But is it really necessary for families to make $500,000, $600,000 a year, live in a beautiful 8-9-bedroom home, have all the memberships to the country clubs? Or were you better off, was America better off when you had, instead of two people working, you had a father that was out there working in the workforce and you had a mom staying at home and raising the family and tending to the home? Were we better off then, or are we better off now? Now, some people will say that that's a sexist question that I just asked, but I don't believe it is. I mean, when you go back through the history of the family, and you have to, for you to do that, you have to go back to the biblical days, and you have to read the Bible, and the teachings of the Bible are pretty clear. And most families that follow the teachings of the Bible when it comes to roles and responsibilities within the household, guess what happens? Those families tend more often than not to turn out okay. However, and again, there are single family homes out there and you can do the best you can do. And I'm not saying this is, you know, this is the way it is. It doesn't have to be. But I am saying that if you're a family and you're making good money as, you know, the head of the household, gentlemen, then why do you need your wife working in the workforce? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. All right, moving on then. I want to play some audio here. Big Trouble. And all right, let's go to the phone. All right, let's. Okay. Hang tight. We will get back to that in just a moment. But I want to go to the some audio here. This is from the University of Michigan. And man, do they have a big problem out there. I'm going to set this up. We'll play the audio on the other side of the break here. So the University of Michigan, they have regents, and these are the people that make all the decisions for the university. And now they are being targeted in their homes, the privacy of their homes. These pro-Hamas extremists are now setting up illegal camps on the front lawns of many of these people's homes. And this is happening at like 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. And so the university issuing a statement. This all happened last night into the wee hours of this morning. And people are really getting nervous because these people are showing up. They've got masks on their face. You don't know who they are. And the police are concerned. And here's my take on it. There is something called the Castle Doctrine in Michigan, and you have a right to defend your home against these pro-Hamas thugs. And if they're coming up and trying to break into your home, you have a responsibility as a man to protect your wife and your children and your property. It really is that simple. So we'll get into more of that a little bit later on. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right. Great new TV miniseries. It starts tomorrow on Great American Pure Flix. And, man, we love those folks. We've had them on a number of times. The miniseries is called Destination Heaven. And it stars one of our favorites here on the program, our good friend Kevin Sorbo, who is on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now. Kevin, hope you're doing good today.
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
You know, I'm doing good, Kevin. Before we get into this, we just spent a good half an hour talking about these attacks on Harrison Butker, the Kansas City Chiefs quarterback, just a devout Catholic young man who's coming under attack for holding to beliefs like pro-life and pro-family. Are you surprised that this young man is coming under attack?
Not at all. I get the same thing all the time. I mean, I do pro-life speaking events. You get people out front chanting, and it's like, oh, you're for murdering children. Good for you. That's a really wonderful part of America right now. I mean, we live in crazy times, and we live in a world now where people just wake up every day looking to be offended, and it's incredible to me. And it's all because, you know, look, I swear, if I could do a documentary on these people, there is no God in their lives. I'm sure there's from broken homes. I'm sure they don't like their job if they even have one. I'm sure they look in the mirror and hate what they see. So how can you love your neighbor as yourself when you don't love yourself at all? So we live in crazy times right now, but thank God for, you know, the movies I've been lucky to be part of, and what Great American Pure Flix is doing to be part of a new TV series that they're launching. Cause I think what the world is missing now more than anything else is hope. And these are the type of TV programs that give people hope.
Yeah, well, you're right. And I mean, parents are just flocking to Great American Pure Flix. And it is, folks, a terrific streaming destination. Let's talk about the miniseries coming out tomorrow, Destination Heaven. What's it all about?
It's out right now, actually. Starts tonight from now until June 20th, 8 p.m. Eastern time. So go to Great American Pure Flix and check it out and sign up. I'm in the first episode. I'm in the pilot episode, episode one, called Home is Where. And I play a homeless man. He's pretty not pleased about the life that he's been dealt with and takes out on everybody else, and meets a very successful businesswoman that he's camped out in the parking lot of their business building. And they eventually become not friends, but they become people that open up and talk to each other. And you find out a little bit about each of them, and they actually do enough to affect the other person in a positive way instead of a negative way. And it's about don't judge a book by its cover, right? And I think it's a wonderful premiere episode for Destination Heaven, and it's going to follow with a number of other episodes after that.
So are these like individual episodes? So if you can only watch one or two, you know, or will this be a continuing? Is there a continuing theme through all the episodes?
The only continuing theme is God. You're going to see God in every episode. So he's there to sort of guide people in a way that he's sort of like a father figure for people. And it's interesting. It's an interesting take on it. And we'll see. I know. I hope what people take out of this is not only do I hope they spread the word about the series, but I hope they find hope and redemption and love and faith again, because I think the world can use a lot more of it right now.
Oh, I'm with you on that. And Kevin, I know you've been doing these kinds of movies for quite a while now, and it's been so exciting to see people just being drawn towards the stories. And what is it? What is it about these kinds of stories that just draw people in?
Well, I think the stories Hollywood used to do. If you go pre-1960, I mean, Hollywood did movies and TV shows like this all the time. Even they had TV shows in the 60s. They did it. You know, you had a Father Knows Best. You had a My Three Sons. You had the Andy Taylor Show. There was always a strong message in those kind of movies. And there wasn't all this negative hate and anger and over-sexualization that Hollywood seems to be promoting now. And I've always been drawn to true stories myself. I've directed a couple of true stories. I just finished one just recently that I didn't direct, but that's coming out in theaters in August, and that's called The Firing Squad. I hope people will check out the firingsquadfilm.com. And it's a true story set in an Indonesian prison where here in amongst all these people on death row, they found God. And it's a true story. And to me, it's like if you can find God in some of the worst conditions around, then you can find God anywhere. And we're living right now where we live in a place that's so filled with hate and so filled with anger. And what Great American Pureflix is doing with promoting this new TV series and Destination to Heaven is to show, you know what? There's hope out there, people. And you just gotta be willing to open your heart and want to watch it. I get stopped all the time for the last 10 years by people saying, we love the movies you're doing. Please keep making them. Cause I know the things you're part of, I can let my family watch. And it's not even Hercules or Andromeda anymore. It's God's Not Dead. It's What If, it's Soul Surfer, it's Let There Be Light. These are the movies that people want to be made. And Hollywood is slowly waking up. And I think you're going to see a big change in Hollywood after you look at the big loss that Disney took last year with the movies they're putting out. Because people said, we don't want that kind of content. We want movies that Disney used to always do. I mean, I think Walt will be flipping in his grave realizing what they're doing to his name right now. But, you know, there are more and more people like, you know, Great American Pureflix, what Sorbo Studios, my company, with Irwin Brothers, the Kendrick Brothers. There's more and more people in the independent world that are really getting involved now in making better and better products. And Pureflix is one of the leaders of that. I mean, I did 2010 and 2014. I did What If and God's Not Dead with them.
Folks, you got to go ahead and schedule time to watch this. Great American Pureflix, the TV miniseries Destination Heaven. You know, it's interesting. Earlier today, Kevin, up at the U.S. Capitol, they unveiled the statue of the late, great Billy Graham. And, you know, you talk about hope. You know, here's a guy who spent, you know, almost 80 years sharing the gospel message.
Yeah.
And it was a very simple message, but it impacts that message. As you talk about it, even in this miniseries, it will change people's lives.
I'm going to tell you a story. I was 13 years old. I grew up in Minnesota, St. John's Lutheran Church, typical second generation Scandinavian boy. So we grew up in a Lutheran church. We took 7 buses from our church to see him speak. It was a hot August night at the St. Paul Fairgrounds. There had to be 300,000 people there. It was absolutely crazy. When he was done speaking, this was at the height of his powers in the early mid 70s. And I, for some reason, as a 13-year-old kid, I went down there and met with one of his volunteers. And I sat in the ground, I'm talking to him. All of a sudden, a hand went on my head. I turned around, it was Billy Graham. And the moon was perfectly behind his head. It's like these moonbeams coming out of his head. It was something I'll never forget as a 13-year-old kid. And he talked to me, prayed for me. I told that story in the Larry King Show. Well, they saw that story. And Larry King saw that story. So they were doing a hardcover book, the only hardcover book they've ever done for Chicken Soup for the Soul. And they called me up, Larry Ross's company, and said, Billy, we loved your story. The Reverend Graham loved your story. Would you do that? So I'm in that book with next to Mother Teresa and all these other people that were touched by Billy Graham's life somehow. So it's amazing to me how things like that come around full circle now, where I'm part of that world and trying to spread the word. Probably not as effectively as he did, but I'm out there doing movies and stuff that have changed people's lives.
It's amazing, and what an incredible story. But again, Kevin, we're excited about the many people that are going to be reached by your work and by your ministry here in the film industry. And again, folks, Great American Pureflix, the TV miniseries Destination Heaven. Kevin, always good to have you on the show, my friend.
I appreciate your time. And go, it's 8 p.m. tonight. They can check it out in Great American Pureflix, 8 p.m. Eastern time.
All right. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it from Kevin Sorbo. He says, go watch the show tonight. So you better do that. All right. We've got to take a quick break here, folks. When we do, we will return to your calls, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, don't forget, everybody, 5 o'clock Eastern, you can watch The Todd Stern Show on Newsmax 2. Just head over to YouTube or Facebook Live, the Newsmax streams, and you'll be able to watch the show tonight. We've got a great one coming up. Let's go to Jim in Lakeland, Tennessee, KWAM, our great affiliate there. Hi, Jim, what's on your mind?
Well, I had an experience myself with Billy Graham. I was 20 years old, and I was working at Holiday Inn Airport called High Air. And Wallace Johnson would bring certain preachers in for the annual Holiday Inn prayer breakfast when the home of Holiday Inn was here. And he brought in Billy Graham. And the prayer breakfast was over. I was a line chief. And just as they were fixing to get on the plane, Mr. Johnson got an emergency phone call that had to take. And so he asked me, he said, Jim, he said, show Reverend Graham around the airport. So I took him on a little thing we had, that buggy like a golf cart, took him around and showed him the different things, the different airplanes and stuff, and spent about 20 or 30 minutes with him. So we got ready to go back to the plane. I saw Mr. Johnson signal me, and Mr. Graham, Reverend Graham, asked me for my address and my name and everything. And I said, okay. So as they walked up to board the plane, he looked at me and he said, Jim, I want to thank you for showing me around the airport. And I said, well, sir, the honor was mine. And he said, God bless you, son. And he saluted me. And he turned around and got up on the plane. And then that Christmas, I got a card from him and Ruth. I got a Christmas card from him that I still have to this day.
Is that right?
Yeah. Great guy. Great guy.
Jim, I've heard so many stories very similar to just how personable he was. And he was not a guy staying at the Ritz-Carlton. You know, he was staying at the Holiday Inns of the world.
Oh, yeah. He was just, he was just here for that prayer breakfast and everything. And he was just as nice. I mean, you couldn't ask anybody to be any nicer, you know.
All right, Jim, I appreciate that that story, and there may be others of you out there. Maybe you have a Billy Graham story, and, of course, the headline is that Billy Graham's statue was unveiled today in the U.S. Capitol in Statuary Hall, and it was a beautiful ceremony, and we'll try to bring you some audio from that a little bit later on in the next hour of the program. But it's really something to see this man now being honored, and I truly believe that future generations are going to be able to go, and they're going to be able to see not only the statue, but at the base of the statue, the pedestal, are the words from John chapter 3, verse 16, which is a Bible verse that Billy Graham preached from all over the world. So if you have a story, maybe you went to one of the crusades, give us a call. We'd like to hear from you. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. It was a big crowd there at the U.S. Capitol today for that incredibly beautiful moment. By the way, the statue has Billy Graham 7 feet tall and he's holding the Bible as he would, that traditional Billy Graham pose with the Bible out there. And it really is a remarkable statue. They did a wonderful job. I want to go back to what's happening at the University of Michigan, where dozens of pro-Hamas students terrorized university officials at their private residences. This is what it sounded like on the front lawn of Sarah Hubbard's home. Cut number 10.
Today is Nakba Day, a day that marks 76 years since the mass displacement of the Palestinian people to establish the settler colonial Zionist state. Sarah Hubbard, you and the remainder of the regents have not had the basic human decency to meet with us yet at the encampment where we have been stationed for over 23 days, calling upon you to divest from death. Instead of meeting with us, the students who have been losing their loved ones for the last 7 months, and with a coalition of 100 student organizations, you have instead cackled and laughed in our faces at a protest where students were brutally beaten, pepper sprayed, and arrested. As you have refused to come to the encampment, we are now bringing the encampment to you. Likewise, each Board of Regents has received a copy of our demands taped to their doors this morning. We are giving the regents until the end of their meeting on May 16th to respond to our communication.
All right, there you go. This was happening at other locations, and in some of these, it was 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. Jordan Acker is a regent at the University of Michigan, and he actually has photographs, and we've got these up on our website, toddstearns.com. The masked intruder showed up at his home around 4:40 a.m., and the poor guy's three young daughters were asleep in their beds. We understand that in some locations, the protesters pitched tents. Then they dumped fake corpses wrapped in bloodied sheets on the lawn. And everybody was wearing a hijab or some sort of a face covering. Now, at this point, the whole point of this is that they want to instill fear and terror into the hearts of these university officials. This is literally the definition of terrorism. And the university is out there and they're saying, well, you know, we condemn this, so this is unprecedented. No. This is when you play hardball. You have every single one of them arrested. You find out who they are, and they get expelled from school. Anybody who's a non-U.S. citizen needs to be deported immediately. Now, these wannabe cosplay terrorists need to understand something about Michigan, where the castle doctrine is in effect. So Michigan homeowners have every right to defend themselves and their property and protect their families. And my recommendation to all of these university administrators is to get on down to your local sporting goods store. If you do not have a gun, get yourself a gun, get yourself plenty of ammo, and be ready to defend your property against this mob. Keep in mind, folks just don't pay much attention to history, and they don't pay much attention to detail. But the one thing out of October 7th that always stuck with me is the fact that these terrorists went after the small farms, the small communities, the college kids, the young people who were at a peace concert. And by the way, most of the people in Israel are not allowed to own firearms. So these people are all sitting ducks. So my recommendation to you is don't be a sitting duck. Go out, get a gun, learn how to use it. Make sure you have plenty of ammo. Know your rights under the Constitution. Know your rights under your state constitution as well, because many states have different laws on guns. And make sure that you are prepared when the pro-Hamas terrorists show up on your front lawn. And that's what these people are. And we better start taking this seriously, because one day, this is not a conspiracy. I have no secret information about any of this, but hear me on this. There's a lot of scuttlebutt, a lot of talk, a lot of chatter about whether or not there will actually be an election in the fall. I believe there will be an election, but there are many who do not, and they believe there will be some sort of a national incident that would force, where the government would be forced to step in and curtail our civil liberties. And one of the ways that that could happen is if you have thousands of coordinated terrorist attacks happening at the same time in small towns and communities around this nation. And you say, Todd, that's ridiculous. That's impossible. No, it's actually not ridiculous, and it's not impossible, because plenty of these people have been coming across our southern border, and all of them are military-aged young men. And they have been dispatched to every town, every community in this country. So that being said, better safe than sorry. We're all about being prepared, about being ready just in case something happens. So there you go. What would you do if the pro-Hamas student showed up on your front yard? 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. All right, folks, hang tight. Hour two of the big show coming up. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right.
this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. By the way, the cross-examination of Michael Cohen continues in Lower Manhattan. And a good many members of the House Freedom Caucus are there on hand to show their support for President Trump. Folks like Lauren Boebert, Congressman Matt Gaetz, Andy Ogles was there as well. And do we have that audio? All right, let's listen to what Andy Ogles had to say from Tennessee.
You know, if I started a story with a convicted felon and a hooker walk into a bar,
hello,
you would immediately know that it's a joke. Well, that's what we have here. A joke of a trial. This is not a prosecution. This is a persecution. We have a two-tier justice system in this country. And if a former president can be targeted by a woke and corrupt judge, then you can be targeted as well. Mr. President, we've got your back.
All right. Thank you there. Congressman Ogles represents Middle Tennessee over in the Nashville area. I'm not sure who the is he calling Stormy Daniels the hooker, because I'm not sure, is she a sidewalk Sally or is she just a porn star? There may be a distinction there that I don't know. I'm just a good church going Baptist. What do I know? Anyway, we'll keep you updated. Any developments there? By the way, our telephone number 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I do want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to our friend, Senator Roger Marshall from Kansas. Senator, hope you're doing good today.
Yeah, Todd, I'm doing great. Good afternoon. I'm in D.C. where I'm supposed to be. I got a couple votes here, but we sure wish the President Trump well today and looking forward to a final chapter in that book.
You know, it's really amazing when you see the response to President Trump. I mean, in spite of all of the horrible news coverage and the trials of what, over 100,000 people turning out in New Jersey, I'm curious, what are you hearing back in Kansas? Same level of support?
You know, absolutely. I would say that I've never seen people so motivated to vote. This trial just emboldens every one of them, the Trump supporters. You know, people wouldn't walk across the street to hear Joe Biden talk. You'd have to pay him. But Donald Trump has 80,000, 100,000, whatever it is. But absolutely, every time they see what a creepy guy this Michael Caine is, you talk about a prostitute and a whore, that would be Michael Caine. He's the one who's selling all this information for money, selling lies for money as well. He's done nothing but profit from this. This is a liar. He's been debarred. He's lied to Congress. His last book was named Revenge, of all things. So this guy would do anything for a buck, and he sold his soul to the devil.
Senator, there's so much to talk about, and the concerns so many people have about the border, what's happening there. I know you're very upset about Chuck Schumer and his attempts to revive the border bill. You say it is an absolutely weak package. Is that right?
It's a horrible package. It is deader than dead. What Chuck Schumer should be doing is taking H.R. 2. Yesterday was the one-year anniversary. The House sent over a real security package, a real border security package, and it's set in Judiciary Committee basement for over a year now. So that has some strength to it. The legislation that Chuck Schumer wants to bring us actually will make the immigration situation worse. It does not address Remain in Mexico. Really, I would not consider any type of bill serious unless it has Remain in Mexico as opposed to Catch and Release. It needs to address the 2 million people that he's paroled, and we need to address the hundreds of thousands of, quote, refugees that he's sent over as well. So there's policy changes, and by the way, let's finish building the wall.
Yeah, that would be nice. I do wonder, though, and you know, early on, the polling data, exit polling data, everybody said immigration was the top concern on people's minds, and it needs to be. But I'm telling you, the economy, it's hard when you've got Americans going to the grocery store and paying almost, you know, 50% more for things like eggs. This is just insane where the country is right now.
Yeah, Todd. So I think it's kind of, you frame the question, if you ask folks their biggest worry, it's their safety and security. It's the open southern border. If you ask their biggest concern, it is the economy, it's inflation. Kansans are spending $1,000 more per month for the basic necessities of life. And you take an average salary in Kansas, a family, you know, maybe takes home $5,000 a month. That's job in Kansas, and you're spending $1,000 more just for gas and groceries, and you have nothing left. The average cost of a mortgage payment for that first-time homeowner has doubled under Joe Biden as well. That American dream of owning a house right now is out of reach for everybody. And these interest rates are not coming down. They're not coming down because the federal government continues to print and borrow money. And at the same time, Joe Biden continues to attack American energy. And I believe that energy is an inflation multiplier. Inflation is not going to come down until we set American energy free, i.e. President Trump's second campaign promise here, drill, baby, drill. And then we got to stop printing money. Then we'll see inflation and interest rates start coming down. Donald Trump can do it. It's going to take a change in the White House, though.
Senator, one of the things that you've recognized early on is the border crisis and the impact it's having on crime, and specifically you've got the Democrats out there with their soft on crime policies. You've got these George Soros district attorneys out there, and you point out that this just keeps compounding that problem. And many of our American cities are literal no-go zones now as a result of that.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. We've worked real hard with our relationships with our law enforcement officers. By the way, this is National Law Enforcement Week. Really reach out to those officers and say thank you. They are overwhelmed. We did several roundtables recently, and to a person, law enforcement says crime is just on a huge uptick. And what they say is that even if we doubled their workforce, we cannot arrest ourselves out of this situation. Between drugs and human trafficking, we're seeing huge spikes in crime. And, of course, wherever you see those things, there's going to be more violent crimes as well. And they'll look at me and say, why can't you secure the border? Why doesn't Joe Biden want to secure the border? They get it. But we're seeing an uptick everywhere, including here in D.C.
Mm. All right. Well, Senator, we appreciate the great work that you are doing. And you're a rock-solid conservative. And we know the people there in Kansas are blessed to have you in the U.S. Senate. Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, Todd, I enjoyed it. Thanks so much. Everyone be safe. Have Memorial Day's around the corner as well. So I remember to honor those soldiers that paid the ultimate sacrifice. And if you run into a Gold Star family, let them know you're thinking about them as well.
Well said. All right, Senator Roger Marshall from the great state of Kansas. By the way, before I forget, we're going to go to the phones here in just a second. I have to give a shout out to one of our listeners, Stan the Man. Stan called in a couple of weeks ago, and he was so moved by the story of Ali's Cookies. We told you the story on the program of this Jewish-owned bakery near Emory University in Atlanta. And they've been under relentless assault. Their building has been vandalized, all sorts of damage. They're facing a boycott simply because they support Israel. That's it. That's it. That's why they're trying to be run out of town. And so Stan the Man called into the show, and he said he was going to be ordering us 24 cookies. And Dylan, I'll be darned if this morning we didn't get a big delivery package. I posted pictures on the Todd Stern Show Instagram page, but we actually got 24 cookies from Ali's Cookies.
I did not have a healthy breakfast this morning, Todd.
No, which one did you get? What flavor did you get?
I got the chocolate chip.
Oh, man, so those were good.
Very good. Soft in the middle, soft on the outside, just how I like
very
it.
Very tasty. That was one of the best chocolate chip cookies I've had, and all sorts of other. We're working our way through the I can only do one.
There's a lot of cookies. Me too.
I know it was a lot. So anyway, folks, go and check out Ali's Cookies. Stan the Man, thank you very much for sending us the snack. It will be well appreciated by the staff of the Todd Stern Show. I can promise you that. All right, let's go to Daytona Beach, Florida. Jerry is listening to us on 96.2 FM. Hi, Jerry. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, I was listening when you were talking about campus and on how, you know, the violence and what they're getting away with. And it tied right in. You just had the senator. A lot of it doesn't surprise me anymore. I mean, during, like what he just mentioned, National Law Enforcement Week, they had over 140 Democrats vote against a bill that would deport any illegal that was convicted of assaulting a police officer or a first responder. And it'd been interesting to get these names of over 140, I think it was 148 Democrats that voted against that bill. So I'm sure the legislature did pass, but at least it'll be in front of, it'll go to the Senate. So it'll be interesting to see what's made of that.
Yeah, Jerry, you know, it's tragic because, again, this seems to me to be a pretty nonpartisan issue. The fact that, you know, we want to protect our law enforcement, the men and women who wear the shield, they get out there every day, they put their lives on the line. And you won't even, you had 148 House Democrats, to your point, that voted against that bill to deport illegals who attack police officers. And it makes you wonder, all right, so are you you're siding with the illegals who are literally beating up, shooting, attacking cops? I can't imagine that is a good platform, even in some of these liberal districts out there in America. It's really mind-blowing.
And when you mentioned the firearm element from your last, when you're talking about the to protect yourself for 34 years of my marriage, we had no firearms in the house. I had them prior to being married. And 3.5 years ago, my wife said, I think it's time for you to show me, teach me what courses, and we will now have firearms.
Is that right? Even in a place like Daytona Beach?
You bet. She's a real estate broker, and she determined that with the changes that we've seen coming 3.5 years ago, she made the change. I let her do it. Yeah, I mean, as far as I knew it was necessary, and she came to me.
Well, Jerry, good for her. And I know a lot of ladies are out there. We have a 901 Firearms here in the Memphis, Tennessee area, and they actually offer classes exclusively for ladies who want to learn self-defense, learn how to use a gun. And I totally respect that. And I know a couple of years ago, I was at our good buddy, Rick, Rick Green, the Constitution coach, has a big Nevada. It's like a week long training, firearms training course out in the near Pahrump, Nevada. And it was like 70% female. So it was a huge crowd, but a lot of ladies wanting to learn how to use a weapon, and you know, they want to be able to protect themselves. Jerry, appreciate you calling in, and thanks. Have a great day there in Daytona Beach, Florida. Is this true? We have Stan the Man on the Stan. Wow, those are great cookies, my friend.
Hello, Mr. Storms. How you doing?
Well, we're doing a lot better now that we've had some chocolate chip cookies.
Yes, sir. I'm glad. You mentioned there was 2 dozen. I just checked with Liddy to make sure you got 4 dozen. I want to make sure there wasn't a diversion before they got delivered to you somewhere.
Well, we have some hungry staffers, so that may have been the case. I don't.
Yes, I understand.
Well, thank you. 4 dozen cookies. Jeez, Lou.
Yes, sir.
We're going to do some extra laps around the park today, sir.
Well, that makes 2 of us. I had to put some of mine in the freezer to make sure that I didn't go through them too fast.
What I love about them, Stan, is they're like individually wrapped. That makes it a lot better.
Yes, sir. She did a wonderful job, and I spoke to her again yesterday, and they're doing pretty good. And she said she appreciated all the help. And I mentioned to her that we had talked when you were here in Gainesville about possibility of you doing a remote down there, and I told you if you're there, we'll be there.
Well, that sounds good. I'm not too sure how much broadcasting I'll be able to do surrounded by all those delicious cookies, though. So,
yes, sir. I know. I understand.
Well, Stan, it was very nice to meet you, and thank you for coming out to our big event there in Gainesville. It was a lot of fun, and it's always fun to meet so many of our great listeners.
Thank you. Keep up the good work, and always stay with the truth, which you do.
All right, Stan. God bless you very much. What a good man there. What a kind-hearted man. And he is, that's the thing, is that we have so many listeners just like Stan the Man all over the country. Next week, next Wednesday, we're back out on the road heading to North Carolina, WSJS, WSIC. We're coming to your town as well. We're going to have a lot of fun, and we'll be telling you more about that, I think, on Monday. In the meantime, we've got to take a quick break here, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. And I'm not sure if you've heard, but President Trump, he says Newsmax is really terrific. I think that's because I'm on Newsmax now. I'm just yanking your chain. He also says Americans are turning to Newsmax because it's really good. And my question is, have you made the switch? Newsmax is now on all the major cable networks, and Newsmax 2 is the streaming channel. That's where you can watch my show every day, 5 o'clock Eastern. You can also watch it on Roku, Samsung, and Amazon. But you really need to get Newsmax Plus, and that way you can watch it wherever you are. It is Newsmax Plus is our streaming service, and you can also watch all the other shows, Greta, Rob Schmidt, all those guys, and you get to see Alan Dershowitz, our good buddy Mike Huckabee, and Dick Morris. So Newsmax Plus also provides live coverage of all the major Trump rallies, even the ones Fox News will not broadcast. So be sure to check out Newsmax Plus now. You can go to NewsmaxPlus.com. That's NewsmaxPlus.com to register. By the way, free trial offer. Cost absolutely nothing for listeners of the Todd Stern Show to start. So give it a shot. What do you have to lose? You're going to really love it. You got to trust me on this. All right. I have a question for you. So today, the House Oversight Committee is scheduling a markup on whether or not to hold Merrick Garland in contempt of Congress. Now, here's the deal. Merrick Garland is refusing to hand over a recording of an interview between President Biden and the special counsel, Robert Hur. Now, Robert Hur is the one who said that Biden was dementia-riddled, that he had experienced severe mental lapses and had poor memory. This was at least 7 times, according to a transcript that our friends over at Breitbart News got a hold of. So the Associate Attorney General sent a letter to Jim Jordan and James Comer and said, sorry, guys, we're not going to let you listen to that audio because it's executive privilege. And so Biden's going to refuse to hand over the recordings. Now, the question at this point is, should Merrick Garland be held in contempt? I believe the answer to that question is yes. But here's where it gets interesting, and we talked about this yesterday on the show. Should Merrick Garland be arrested? Because if this had been a member of the Trump administration and they defied a congressional subpoena, they would have their butts thrown in jail. Even the Republicans would have agreed to that. I'm just telling you, that's the way it is. So I'm just curious, ladies and gentlemen, do you believe that if Merrick Garland is held in contempt of Congress, that he should be arrested? He should be charged. He should be perp walked. Or should the Republicans in the House give the guy a pass? 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. You know, I think I can proudly say I don't know a single Taylor Swift song. Don't know a one. If you played one right now, I wouldn't know. I would not have a clue. And I'm okay with that, Dylan. I mean, some people may think, oh, well, Starnes, you need to be more culturally relevant. But I'm good. All she sings about, by the way, are, and she writes her songs. I mean, I think she's a talented songwriter, I suppose. But she, all she writes about are the bad breakups. And I don't want to think this, but you do wonder at some point, who in their right mind would date Taylor Swift? It's going to end up bad, and you're going to end up being a song lyric. I'm just saying.
No arguments from me.
So anyway, Dylan, they have a brand new church service. This is happening in Heidelberg, Germany. The G is silent. Taylor Swift, there's a brand new Taylor Swift-themed church service. This church, by the way, is 600 years old, and the church held an anti-hero Taylor Swift church service. Over 1,000 people turned out. And the service featured the megastar's music. Is there any of her songs that would be remotely religious? You know, typically the musicians, the pop stars, they always do their perfunctory, you know, Christmas album, or they maybe do a collection of gospel hymns. That's really the country music world, though.
Yeah. You could argue that her music is actually the opposite of Christian.
So she's Antichrist.
Yeah.
So Taylor Swift, you're telling me that Taylor Swift could be the Antichrist?
I mean, she pokes fun at Christianity in her new album. So, I mean, that's not a good start.
She's a godless heathen. Yeah. But she can carry a tune.
This is true.
She plays a guitar, though, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, that's good. You know, I respect somebody who can play an instrument as well as, you know, write lyrics.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, you do wonder, is the whole point of her dating to get material for songs? Is that wrong to think that, ladies and gentlemen? The Church of the Holy Spirit in Heidelberg held two Swift-themed services on Sunday. They were called the Anti-Hero Taylor Swift Church Service. Antichrist. 666. Did you hear that? Anybody else, or was it just me?
Is that Taylor?
I don't know. Anyway, the pastor says the Church of the Holy Spirit has always been a place of encounter and exchange. Uh-oh. It's getting, what's the German word for woke? Anyway, that's why a pop music religious service fits so perfectly. Pastor Christoph Elsepin. With it, we are giving space to the questions and issues that occupy the younger generation. Really, is the younger generation just sitting there wondering, what would Taylor Swift do? WWTSD. What would Taylor do? And here we go. Another pastor says, theologically speaking, she points to the justness of God. For her, faith and action are inseparable. Oh, so she's like their version of Jesus. I see. So they're heretics. Very nice. In front of a band, here we go, and this is all you need to know about this particular church. In front, a band led worship with six Swift songs. It's always the worship band, right? I don't know what it is about modern church these days, but if you don't have a cover band, then you just can't worship God. Anyway, they've got the band is playing, so they're playing Taylor Swift songs, and here we go. A rainbow banner behind them on stage. Let visitors know the church welcomes all sizes, all colors, all cultures, all sexes, all beliefs, all religions. So it could be a Satan worship. I don't know. They could be worshiping Satan. You know, they come in there and they go, oh, it's Taylor Swift. Beelzebub. Taylor Swift. I don't know. But it seems to me if you're going to be all things to all people, you're just nothing. And that's what this church really is. So there you go. Just about a bunch of wannabe American Idol stars strumming their banjos and whatever, banging their bongos. Would you go to a Taylor Swift themed? I'm wondering how many American churches actually play Taylor Swift music in their worship set.
That's a nice Google search. I'll do some research for you.
Let me know. In the meantime, I have to talk about tacos and burritos. So this story from Not the Bee, and there's a big problem in Fort Wayne, Indiana. It all started with a dispute about whether a popular chain of Mexican restaurants called the Famous Taco Mexican Grill could add a location in Fort Wayne. Now, the location said no, because their covenant expressly forbid certain types of restaurants like fast food. Sandwich shops were okay, but fast food restaurants were not. But an Indiana judge issued a ruling and said that the Mexican restaurant must be allowed to lease space because, are you ready for this, folks? The judge says that tacos and burritos are actually Mexican sandwiches. This is the actual quote from the ruling. The proposed Famous Taco restaurant falls within the scope of the general use approved in the original written commitment. the proposed famous taco restaurant would serve made-to-order tacos, burritos, and other Mexican-style food, and would not have outdoor seating, drive-through service, or serve booze. Really? What kind of a Mexican restaurant doesn't serve, like, I don't know, margaritas and tequila? I'm a Baptist martini guy myself. That's a Diet Coke with a wedge of lemon for you independent Baptists out there. The court agrees that tacos and burritos are Mexican-style sandwiches. So my question to you, ladies and gentlemen, are you believing this? Do you really believe, is a taco, do you consider a taco to be a sandwich? Now, there is a rule, and this is a pretty hard, fast rule when it comes to determining whether or not something is a sandwich. And, you know, a lot of this falls into the same thing of hot dogs. Is the hot dog a sandwich? So they call it the cube rule. And here's the cube rule. So according to the cube rule, a taco is a three-sided starch construction, which includes hot dogs and pies. A burrito is neither a sandwich nor a taco. It is a calzone, which is a whole different. No, that's Italian, though. You can't mix the ethnicities there, can you? A burrito is neither a sandwich nor a taco. It is a calzone, which is a whole different starch construction that's completely enclosed. And if the judge is going to let burritos in, he also has to let in a fast food restaurant like KFC, because fried chicken is also a calzone. Is this true? I didn't realize this was a big controversy. But again, a taco is a taco. It's not a sandwich. A sandwich is like ham or bologna.
Are they saying that a hot dog is a taco?
Yes, under the definition.
That they're mixing ethnicities there, too, a little bit.
Hot dogs are American.
They're American tacos.
Give me an Oscar Mayer wiener. By the way, did you see a couple of months ago the Oscar Mayer wiener mobile came to town?
I love when I see that thing around here.
It always brings a smile to one's face.
I want to drive it.
That would be fun. It's kind of like a Winnebago. With a big Frankfurter just, you know, stuffed in the middle of it.
Exactly.
All right. 901-260-5926 if you want to weigh in on the taco and burrito controversy. This story from Fox News, a freak robot made in China can learn, think, and work like humans. Here we go. The Chinese company has created a humanoid robot, and it's called the S1 model. This is like Terminator, right? It's like the movie Terminator. This is happening in real life, ladies and gentlemen. It's about the rise. It's about the rise of the robots. I'm not too sure I want my robots to think, learn, and work like humans. If that's the case, they're always going to be late for work. They're going to take a two-hour lunch. I'm just saying. And they're going to want to raise every couple of months. I'm just saying. I'm not sure that's a good idea. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Christine, North Carolina, WHKP. All right, Taylor, or Christine, what do you think about Taylor Swift?
I could care less. She'd be a completely different person if she was like us and didn't have so much money. But did you also know that she is very, very, very liberal and is encouraging everybody to vote for Biden? I don't agree with that.
Well, she's not the brightest bulb, Christine. And do me a favor, turn down your radio so we're getting a little bit of an echo there. But, yeah, I'm not – you're right. She is a liberal, and she is a big fan of Biden. She doesn't like Marsha Blackburn, but that made Marsha Blackburn only more popular in the state of Tennessee.
No, I could care less about Taylor or Travis Kelce, who is also very rich. I mean, I will commend Taylor. She does donate money. I know she donated a bunch of money when there was a tornado somewhere. So,
and I respect that. I just, again, it's just sort of weird. It's, you know, she dates these guys, and once she gets her material for her next song, she dumps them. I'd be nervous.
Me too.
All right, Christine, appreciate that call. And yes, it is true. Taylor Swift is, in fact, a liberal. So anyway, this back to this robot. It can move at a blistering pace of 32.8 feet per second and handle a payload of about 22 pounds per arm. The S1's capabilities are record-setting. The robot's dexterity is showcased in a video, this is coming from Fox News, where it can delicately shave a cucumber. I don't know about that. Oh, it also does calligraphy. You see, this is the problem. We stopped teaching kids how to do cursive, and now the robots are going to be doing it. When they look back decades from now, when the last humans are living in caves, hiding in fear from the robot world and our robot overlords, we're going to look back on this day and realize it was all about banning cursive writing in school. If we had only not done that, humanity might have been saved. According to Fox, the new robot can also open and pour wine and flip a sandwich in a frying pan. Is that a taco sandwich or what are we talking about here? Oh, wait a second. We may have a redeeming factor here. The S2, the humanoid robot, actually does ironing and folding the laundry. Dylan, oh, you're getting married. Can you put that on the registry? You want your own S1 humanoid robot?
I'm already looking for it.
All right.
Might be the only thing I get.
So the robot also mimics human movements. And it's a learner, an imitator, and a potential pioneer. And so in other words, it will watch you, and then it will mimic your actions. Why are you shaking your head, Dylan?
You just said a robot can learn. That just makes me feel like it's the end times. So I just wanted to flip my sandwiches, not destroy the world.
I understand. Just vacuum the floor.
I hate like ironing. So, I mean, just do the things that I want, not the things you want me to do.
But you're getting married. That's why you have a wife.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
We're just kidding.
There we go.
We're just kidding. Jeez, hello. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, so this robot's going to be, it's going to hit the market later on this year. Would you buy an S1 humanoid robot that could literally cook your meals, wash your laundry, iron and fold your laundry, and mow your grass? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Tom Stern Show. It's interesting. So Travis Kelce gets out there, chugs a beer during a graduation ceremony, encouraging everybody to party and get drunk. And he gets celebrated in the media. Harrison Butker actually encourages graduates to get married and start a family, go to church, and all hell breaks loose. What does that tell you about the culture? All right, let's go to the phones, 901-260-5926. Let's go to Jolene in North Carolina, WSIC. Jolene, you want to talk about the robots?
Yes, I do, Todd. I just had a thought. Well, if that robot can mimic people's feelings and all, and their actions, what if he gets mad like a woman? And my thought was, does he come with a remote control so you can turn him off?
I'm not going to answer that question, Jolene.
That could be opening a whole new can of worms there.
It's a fair point you raise. I wonder if they come in male and female versions.
Oh, my goodness. I hadn't thought of that one, Todd. Oh, my.
Jolene, it's a crazy world, isn't it?
It sure is, Todd. It's a lot different than when I was growing up. Mm-mm-mm.
Jolene, we're coming to town next week. We're going to be telling you guys more about it, but we hope to see you out at our big book signing.
I hope to see you too, Todd.
All right, Jolene. All right, God bless. That's a great point. Let's go to Jim, Memphis, Tennessee. Hey, Jim, what's on your mind?
Good afternoon, Todd. It's a hard act to follow Jolene there.
Yes.
On the sandwich controversy, you know, the fillings you can't argue with, but it's crossed my mind that that the tacos are made with either corn and water or flour and water, and there's no yeast in them. And I've never seen a sandwich that didn't have leavened bread in it.
Oh, this is interesting. So what does this mean in your sandwich mind?
I look at it horizontally as well as vertically, and that's about all I can handle.
Okay, Jim, this is terrible. Oh, okay. Lord!
But it just there you go. That's great, but no. Are we trying to differentiate between the two for God and country, or what are we doing here?
Here's the thing. My definition of a sandwich is some sort of a meat tucked between two pieces of bread. Now, the question is a hot dog, which is, some people would say technically is a sandwich, but I don't believe it is because that bread is hinged, right? So there's a hinge in the bread. And that would make it more like a pita sandwich than a sandwich, in my estimation.
Its own breed. We need to differentiate and have one more kind of category,
Jim,
of course, to go with the pronoun.
I'm calling on Congress to investigate. We've got to get to the bottom of this sandwich gate. All right, Jim, thank you. Hang tight, everybody. Hour three coming up. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Program. So very happy to have you with us today. Coming up in just a little while, we're going to be talking. It's a crazy story about a school that was teaching kids about Donald Trump and Hitler. This was over in Oregon, and a middle school assignment asked kids to draw comparisons between Donald Trump and Adolf Hitler. We're going to be talking to a parent and also a gentleman running for the state house over there, and seems to be very concerned about that. So we'll keep you updated on that story. That's coming up a little bit later on. By the way, our telephone number is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So, Ayanna Pressley, that's the member of the squad. You know, you've got Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib. There's another chick. Oh, Rashida Tlaib, AOC. And then the one everybody forgets about. It's kind of like that missing Spice Girl. There's that one Spice Girl everybody forgets about. Ayanna Pressley is that chick. Anyway, she is as racist as the day is long. And this is mind-boggling. Here's Ayanna Pressley yesterday, cut number 7.
There is not one woman on this panel. And I almost walked out just on the strength of that. But the only reason why I didn't is because that is a systemic issue here in Congress and often for people who come before this committee. And if you don't have one woman in a position of leadership and authority that should be there, then that is also a problem. But again, women, hundreds of women, the report detailed hundreds of women who experienced harassment with no recourse. For over a decade, the FDIC, under your leadership and your predecessors, ignored them. Chair Gruenberg, in November, in fact, not that long ago, you stated that the FDIC already has, quote, appropriate policies and procedures in place, unquote. Do you now agree, and this is a yes or no question, I'm serious, do you now agree that the policies and procedures in place have been a cataclysmic failure and an affront to the many women who have been harassed, pushed out of the FDIC, and forced to change their career goals and life trajectory?
They have failed, yes, Congresswoman.
Small, ashamed, traumatized, humiliated, alone. These are just a few of the words to describe the intense feelings of sexual harassment and what survivors endure. According to the FDIC's own reporting, more than 80% of harassment complaints resulted in zero discipline. And when there were repercussions, not a single one resulted in removal, reductions in greater pay, or any discipline more serious than a temporary suspension. I am so tired of white men failing up. This lack of accountability is a shameful...
All right, there you go. So she's tired of all you white men failing up. And I thought, at least, I thought originally, I misread that. I said she was tired of white men falling up, and I thought she was talking about Joe Biden. Poor guy can't even walk up a flight of stairs. I mean, geez, hello. Well, look, this is the kind of vitriol that is becoming the norm on university campuses and the public sector and in the halls of Congress right now. And you need to be very alarmed by this kind of stuff, especially if you happen to be a white man, because they'll be coming after you. Oh, by the way, Congressman Jeff Van Drew dropping some knowledge about these Robert Hur tapes. Now, the House Judiciary is expected to recommend that Merrick Garland be held in contempt of Congress because he refuses to turn over these tapes. Cut number nine.
Cognitively impaired, incompetent, unable to stand trial, even though he broke the law. So the Department of Justice decides that they won't go after him for those reasons. And if that's true, we need to hear the audio tape. You're going to be able to understand if he truly is that cognitively impaired, if he truly has those problems, if he cannot deal with these issues, if he didn't know what he is doing. We are going to learn a lot more. And by the way, if it's no big deal, as the other side says, because we have the transcripts, well, we do have the transcripts, so why do you care so much about us getting the audio? What's the big deal?
Would the gentleman yield for an answer?
I just want to finish this first. I will yield. We already have the transcript, so why don't we have the audio? Because we can find out whether he is in that much trouble, if the country is in that much trouble. This has got nothing to do with what's going on in New York. This has to do with what's going on right here in the White House in Washington, D.C. with this president. Or if he is not cognitively impaired, if he is with it, if he is capable, then he broke the law as vice president and as a U.S. senator, not allowed to take these classified materials out, kept them in a garage by his home next to a collapsed dog kennel, and then used them.
Well, there you go. And Jeff Van Drew is just, I mean, he's laying it out there why we need to see these audio tapes. We need to hear these audio tapes. So while that's happening, and we're going to keep an eye on that, and honestly, Merrick Garland needs to be going to jail. If he is going to defy the subpoena, he needs to go to jail. And Speaker Johnson needs to deal with this, and it needs to be harsh. I'm tired of the Republicans turning a blind eye to all of this lawlessness on the Democrat side of the aisle. Anyway, I want to get back to Michael Cohen, who is being cross-examined today, and it is not going well at all. As a matter of fact, Anderson Cooper over at CNN was talking about this just a little while ago.
Minutes of court today, right before the lunch break. It was incredible. I mean, it was, you know, Ellie Honig on my program last night had talked about, you know, on a cross-examination, lawyers want to kind of put the witness in a, you know, build a box around the witness and then slam it shut. That's what Todd Blanch did to Michael Cohen. I mean, the story, you know, the Todd Blanch just methodically went through this sequence of events of this phone conversation that Michael Cohen had testified to previously, you know, that he had this consequential phone conversation with Donald Trump. It was a 90-second phone conversation. I believe it was October 24th was the date that it was testified to in around 8 p.m. or so at night. But Todd Blanch on his cross-examination today went kind of looked at the transcripts of text messages that Michael Cohen had received and sent before that time frame. And there had been this series, I guess, of crank calls that Michael Cohen had received. It turned out to be from some 14-year-old. There was an exchange of messages between the alleged 14-year-old and Michael Cohen. And then Michael Cohen texts Keith Schiller at like 7:50-something or 7:48 p.m., saying, hey, you know, I've got some dope has been harassing me. I got the person's phone number. Who can I talk to? Keith Schiller texts him back saying, call me. And Michael Cohen calls Keith Schiller. This is the conversation that previously Michael Cohen had said he was calling to speak to Donald Trump to tell him that the storm he was going ahead with the Stormy Daniel arrangement and that Trump approved it, which was crucial to Michael Cohen's whole raison d'etre for being on the stand. He is the only person testifying to direct involvement by Donald Trump in the Stormy Daniels payments. But it, according to suddenly now Michael Cohen's refreshed memory, he now says, oh, it was a call about this 14-year-old making crank phone calls to me, but also about the moving ahead on Stormy Daniels. Todd Blanche was incredulous, his voice cracking, his voice raising up, moving around the courtroom, speaking, saying that what the jury doesn't want to hear, him guessing, it wants to hear facts. It was an extraordinary cross-examination by Todd Blanche. And, you know, Michael Cohen's, throughout the day, Michael Cohen, when he found himself in a corner, he does have a pattern of suddenly not understanding the question that's being asked, or seemingly kind of, I mean, one could say buying time to try to figure out how he wants to answer. But he definitely suddenly starts to, have Todd Blanche repeat questions and say, I don't quite understand what you mean. I'm confused by the question.
Let me jump in here for just a moment. This is fascinating. Anderson Cooper of CNN, and the reason I wanted you to hear this longer version is that Cooper is astounded that Michael Cohen was destroyed on the stand today. And this is just the lunch break. So there's also some reporting now that Michael Cohen's attorney just testified to Congress moments ago. This would be Robert Costello. Michael Cohen's attorney testified that Cohen told him that he didn't even believe Stormy Daniels and only paid her off to save Trump and his family embarrassment. So what does this mean? Well, if that's the case, then it blows up the entire case in New York City. Costello testifying on Capitol Hill that Cohen was becoming increasingly agitated at not being invited to work in Washington. So it certainly looks like you have Stormy Daniels and Michael Cohen who were trying to extort Donald John Trump. So at some point, the judge has to step. I mean, he has to. I mean, if there is a shred, just a single little shred of integrity in this judge, he's going to have to throw this whole thing out. There is not a case here. And that's what you heard, the exasperation in Anderson Cooper from CNN's voice. That's what you heard, that Cohen got destroyed. And I'm telling you right now, that at the end of the day, Alvin Bragg, Fat Alvin, Fat Alvin Bragg, he's got to be held accountable. All of these people do. All right, we got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Now, I have a tradition. Usually on the third hour of the program, you see, I start my day about 4:30, 5 a.m., and so right about that third hour of the show, I got to sneak out. I got to get a cup of coffee. And we're very excited to introduce a brand new sponsor of the program, our friends at First Cup Coffee Company. And this is a Christian-owned, family-owned, conservative-owned, patriotic coffee company. And they stand for all the values that you care about. And by the way, they actually use some of their profits to support mission programs all around the world, building churches, Bible colleges, and funding missionaries. But I'm telling you, I don't know what they put in these roasted beans. I don't know how they roast the beans, but it's like a church experience. So I am a big fan of First Cup Coffee. You ought to check them out. I get the Washington blend, but they have so many other different blends, and you got to go to their website, and they'll be able to give you all that information. FirstCup.com, that's FirstCup.com. Get this, you can buy the beans and you can grind them yourself. You can get the pods, which is what I do from a little Keurig. If you use my code, Todd, then you're going to save an additional 10% on your coffee order. And if you subscribe, in other words, they'll send you a regular supply of coffee, you're going to save an additional 10% for the entire life of your subscription. So if you want more information and you want to get more intel on the blends of the coffee they have, all you need to do is go to firstcup.com and use the code Todd. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. By the way, I find this to be fascinating. There is there's a story from our friends over at Libs of TikTok, and they've gotten their hands on a military memorandum talking about the Gay Pride Month celebrations. And this is from the Air Force, which seems to be the greatest offender of all of this. And they're telling everybody, hey, look, we're expecting everybody to participate. The U.S. Air Force sending out this memorandum saying that LGBT inclusion makes the military stronger and ultimately creates a more effective team. So what the implication there is that if you don't have LGBT inclusion, then you do not have an effective team. So they're saying that the military is not as strong as it should be unless there are transgender people running around in stiletto heels flying airplanes. That's the implication here. So anyway, they have the entire month is Pride Month. That's coming up in, a couple of weeks now. And for an entire, 30 days, we will be forced to celebrate. That's the rule in America. You have resistance is futile. So you're going to have a lot of, grown men. Some of them probably need to lose 20, 30 pounds running around buck naked with hairy backs and buttless leather chaps. And if you've got a problem with that, well, you're the bigot. You're the homophobe. That's that. And by the way, they always say, how dare you? Who do you think you are calling out the hairy men wearing the buttless leather chaps? Who do you think you are? That's just bigotry. You just point out the one person in the crowd wearing the buttless leather chaps. Well, actually, there are a lot of people and a lot of parades. And I'm just saying, it's kind of weird. Why can't you just have, a brigade of, LGBT people walking in khaki pants and a nice polo shirt? What's wrong with that? Can you not express your pride without exposing your butt cheeks? That's all I'm asking. That's all I'm asking. Anyway, Dylan, are you all right? You keeled
over. No, I got to recover from that one.
So again, it just seems to me that's a pretty logical thing, right? So anyway, I click on the link. They have a link, and you never know. You never know what's going to pop up on your screen. You never know. So anyway, they got a whole division in the military now that's dedicated to the Defense Equal Opportunity Management Institute. That's what it is. And so they have all of these graphics, these posters that you can order, that you can print out, that you can post in your military barracks. Well, no, Dawn, there's not any buttless leather chaps, but there's some other stuff. So that I clicked on the holiday app. I was afraid to click on the sex app. I was afraid to do that. I wasn't sure what that was going to pop up. But I did pick the religious diversity, faith, cultural, and indigenous celebrations or observances. And ladies and gentlemen, are you aware that they celebrate Christmas? You know what the picture is not. There's not a poster. There is not a celebration for Easter. Easter Sunday, there is no celebration according to the Pentagon. There are no posters or banners or graphics or cards, nothing of that nature. But you know what there are celebrations designated for on this page, ladies and gentlemen? Paganism. Wiccans. They have one pentagram poster for Wiccans. Not one, but two. Kind of makes you wonder what the heck's going on over in the U.S. military, right? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back. Good to have you with us. This is the Todd Stern's radio show. And wow, do we have a lot going on around here? I've been telling you about our new friends and new sponsors of the program over at BackyardButchers.com, a Christian and conservative Texas-based company, and they are delivering the best deals out there on high-quality beef. And folks, it's cheaper than anything you will find in the supermarket, and the best part of all, every product they sell is raised right here in America, on ranches right here in the heartland of America. BackyardButchers.com/Todd is the website. And you got to go and check out. They have hamburgers. They've got chicken, steaks. Let me tell you something. Those burgers, some of the juiciest, freshest burgers I've ever had, came from BackyardButchers.com. Now, if you use my name, Todd, you're going to get 20% off your entire order. And trust me, it is worth it. Give it a shot. And if you like it, you'll be able to subscribe. You can actually get a subscription, and they will deliver meat to you. They will deliver meat directly to your home. And if you subscribe, you're going to get an additional 10% off and free shipping. It's a great deal. But go check them out. You might like steaks, chickens, whatever. Go to BackyardButchers.com/Todd and be sure to use my code Todd for those incredible discounts. All right. There is a crazy story out of Oregon, and this one is a head scratcher. You have a middle school out there, and they were telling the students to draw comparisons between Donald Trump and Hitler. Now, that has really riled a lot of parents and a lot of citizens there in this Oregon community. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Ben Ettel is a candidate for the Oregon House District 37. Ben, I appreciate you coming on the program, and you were the first person to expose what was going on here at this school. So first, welcome to the show. Second, tell us what happened.
Sorry, I lost you there. Are you still there?
Ben, you're on the air.
Oh, wonderful. Thanks, Todd, for having me on to talk about this issue. I really do appreciate it.
All right, Ben, let's get to it. Again, explain to us what happened at this middle school.
Well, so this is a middle school in the Tigard-Tualatin School District in Oregon. And what happened was that a teacher has put out an assignment for in-class work that basically was covered Adolf Hitler's and the Nazi Party's anti-Semitic propaganda. Okay, so it was just horrific. And then at the very end, and in this entire assignment, not one time was Donald Trump mentioned. It wasn't about Donald Trump. It was about propaganda. And the teacher had selected Nazi Germany's anti-Jewish propaganda to use it as an example. Doesn't mention Donald Trump one single time the entire course. But at the end, there's a quiz, and it asks the students to determine who said what quote, Adolf Hitler or Donald Trump. So it was absolutely outrageous. And the parents are just, you know, completely pissed. I mean, it was just like, are you kidding me? You know, so as soon as that got found, it got forwarded over to Libs of TikTok, and they ran it on Twitter, and it's just blown up from there. And of course, this district is in my school, and I have my kids go to the district. My kids are in public school. I keep them in public school. So we're outraged.
So has the school responded here? Have they acknowledged that there was a problem with the assignment?
No, no, not at all. They don't see a problem with it. And that's the thing. What people have to understand that what's going on in Oregon is critical, I believe, for everyone in the country to watch, because what's happening in Oregon is coming to you. It is coming to you. We are ground zero epicenter of a communist takeover of our country. The Chinese and other foreign actors control our land. They control our legislatures. The corruption is terribly deep. And this is part of, you know, it's part of the deeply ingrained culture of our school district. But we also have mandated diversity, equity, inclusion, and all these other far left radical propaganda aspects of our education. And enrollment is down tremendously. In fact, there's cuts to $36 to $40 billion across the state to school districts. And Tiger Twelton School District just announced its second major cut just in the last 12 months of $8.8 million. And the schools are going bankrupt because parents are pulling their kids from public schools. And now they want the state to issue new property taxes to make up for that difference. So it's taxation without representation. Dictionary definition.
All right. So I want to go back here because, as you point out, the Oregon Department of Education, every school district controlled by Democrats. So what are you recommending that moms and dads and concerned citizens do with the teachers and the administrators and these board members?
Well, if you can't, if taking your kids out doesn't work because then they just tax you more. OK, this is what's happening. The only answer is to come out and vote in droves and vote for Republicans in the legislature, because 2 years ago, our state legislature, while it was under a Democrat supermajority control, took away all the Democratic, local Democratic process from school districts across the state. So the Oregon Department of Education has absolute control over every single local school district. It's unprecedented. I don't think there's anything like it in the country. You can elect a school board, but the school board can't fire anybody, not even the superintendent. So if the school board passes rules or new processes, and the superintendent says, I'm not going to enforce that, the school board can't even fire the superintendent. Only the Oregon Department of Education can. So it doesn't even matter who we elect to be our school board representatives.
I'm curious.
So you have to vote Republican legislators into office. So
you wrote this on social media. You said, meanwhile, what we can do is humiliate the teachers, administrators, and board members that support this horrific indoctrination. So how do we do that?
Well, there's a large parent group in the Tiger Twelton School District, especially in my town of Tualatin, Oregon, which is just outside of Portland, Oregon. And these parents attacked relentlessly the superintendent when a boy dressed as a girl earlier in the year beat up a girl very badly. And that was one of the videos that I broke on Twitter at Ben Edel. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Edel. And after that video broke, again, it was shared by Libs of TikTok, and it went around with millions of views. And the parents pushed so hard, and of course I helped them do that, but I was just one of many parents because I am a parent in the school district. And we pushed the superintendent so hard that she resigned because she just couldn't take the heat. And so humiliation and calling out the truth, using the First Amendment rights that we have, utilize it, because these people are really just cowards. They're bullies. When the heat comes on to them, they run away. And so that's how I think you do it. I think you just continue to expose. And of course, you have to vote Republican in the legislature here in Oregon and across the country. I think it's very, very important that people recognize that that this tactic of removing democratic process is part and parcel to communism, which is defined as all power to the state. And that's exactly what we have here in Oregon.
Yeah, look, I kind of like this idea. And they're always doing that to the Christians. They're out there shaming, humiliating, doxing. If there's an opportunity for people in that community to identify the teacher responsible for this assignment, or whoever was responsible, whether the teacher was forced, we don't know. I suspect, the teacher came up with this on their own. But I like this idea.
I do too. I think it really works. And we've had run-ins before at the other middle school. This one was at Tuolumne, and I have a child at Hazelbrook. And at Hazelbrook, my stepson, who's 13, was working on a class project, and there was a girl who decided she was no longer a girl, who he had gone all the way from elementary school with. So this was many, many years. And he referred to her on accident as a she, because that's what she has been his whole, since kindergarten. And the teacher reprimanded him in front of class and took him out in the hallway. And we went into, I went to the principal and I said, if this happens again, I'm going to take you, the teacher, and the district to federal court. It's going to be the worst thing that ever happened to you. Because that's what we do. I'm a founder of Free Oregon, which is a lawfare group that focuses on constitutional rights and civil rights in the state of Oregon. And we've got all kinds of lawsuits across in federal court going into SCOTUS right now, in fact. And that teacher was ultimately removed and sent to, guess where? The other middle school, Tuolumne.
Wow.
So it's crazy what happens, but we have to keep the pressure on. And it's a double-edged sword. If you take your kid out of your kids out of public schools, the schools are funded based on their enrollment numbers. But the problem is you're then not able to out them and expose what's really happening at the school. So in our house, we talk about communism. We talk about what that really looks like and what that really means. And we send our kids in, and they come back and bring us information. They record things and report to us, and they get to see firsthand what the enemy, how the enemy works and lives and does things. And so they're educated on that. So that's our strategy.
Yeah. Well, Ben, I think it's a great strategy, and I'm up against a hard break here, so we're going to have to leave it there. BenEdtl.com. That's BenEdtl.com. BenEdtl.com. Running for the Oregon House, that would be District 37. Ben, we wish you nothing but the best on your campaign, and thanks for exposing this story. Crazy.
You're welcome. Thanks for having it on, and thanks for perpetuating it.
All right. There we go. All right. And I have to imagine you folks in the Salem, Oregon area, you're pretty close to, as is a quality middle school there. And what an insane story. But I like this idea of humiliating the teachers, administrators, and the board members that are shoving this communist crap down the throats of our kids. I love it. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. All right, just getting this from our friends up on Capitol Hill. We understand the House Judiciary Committee just voted to hold Merrick Garland in contempt of Congress. And why is that? He refused to provide the audio tapes of Special Counsel Robert Hur's interview of President Biden. And in that interview, and here's my take on this, folks. If those audio tapes had been released, then I suspect it would have been immediately over for the Biden campaign. He'd be done. So anyway, this now goes before the full Congress, before the House, and that the House of Representatives will vote on this. And the question is whether or not the House, the Republicans, will hold firm and hold Merrick Garland accountable here. And at some point, will he be arrested? And I think he ought to be. Our telephone number is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Now, tomorrow, we're going to jump into something. We don't have enough time to jump into this now, but I will give you a preview of what we will be discussing tomorrow. So the gals on The View, the squawking magpies on The View, many of whom should probably be, you know, at home making a sandwich or something, maybe vacuuming, cleaning the toilets. But instead, some of these gals are spewing their filth on national television. One of them by the name of Sarah Haynes. And this does not impact me as a Baptist, but this is going to impact you Catholics out there. And this is a fascinating story. Sarah Haynes on The View says that people, Catholics who celebrate traditional Latin Mass, are extremist. She says Latin Mass is cult-like and is comparable to Islam. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that to me at face value sounds like nothing but unadulterated bigotry against Catholics. That's what that sounds like to me. So we're going to jump into more of that on tomorrow's show. But I am telling you that the knives are out for traditional Catholics. Remember what the Kansas City Chiefs player said, Harrison. Thank you, Dylan Butker. Thank you. I want to say Butler, but it's Butker. So anyway, Harrison Butker got up there and said that he is a follower of the Latin Mass. So is that like a big controversy in the Catholic Church? I've heard, you know, rumblings of it every now and again. The Southern Baptist Convention, we're dealing with our own wokeness. As you've got these millennial and Gen Z pastors that are shoving our denomination down the path towards liberalism. But I'm wondering, again, is the Catholic Mass, is the Latin Mass really problematic? 901-260-5926. You know, I was signing books last night and trying to catch up on a lot of correspondence. A lot of you folks are sending me notes and you're reading the book and having a great time in doing so. And I'm so happy for you. And I got a message last night from one of our listeners out in Georgia who had been reading the book. And she sent a note to a friend of mine and said, "I'm going to take the book to Bible study and see if someone wants to read it. I think it's too good not to share." And she actually read the book in one sitting. She says, "I've never read a book that fast. I don't finish books usually, maybe two or three. It takes a while." But she says that she loved it. And anyway, she says, "Todd, this is the thread," and she sent me some screenshots from my friend that you signed a book for. "I knew that she didn't read very much, but I thought she would enjoy your book, so I took it to her yesterday morning about 9:45 a.m. Last night she texted me that she had read 132 pages and was on chapter 11. I couldn't believe it. This afternoon she sent me another message, and that's the conversation I just shared with you. She loves the book, to say the least. A five-star review." I love hearing stories like that. And maybe this week we will open up the phone lines. If you've had a chance to read the book, well, tomorrow's open line Friday. If you've read the book, I would love to hear your thoughts and hear what you think about Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? So people reading it are coming away laughing and hopeful and also a little mad. But they're laughing and they're hopeful. There's just a smidge of madness and anger in there, and that's all justifiable. So I'd love to sign a copy for you, and to do that, go to our website, toddstearns.com. And, you know, we've been telling people go to Amazon and Barnes & Noble. You know, that's fine for the book launch, but now we want to give you an autographed copy of the book, and the only way to do that is to go to my website, toddstearns.com, and we will certainly take care of that for you there. And we turn around those book orders pretty quick. So as soon as you order, the book goes out the next day. We also have a lot of other great products there as well. Our coffee mugs, our tumblers. We have great ball caps and T-shirts and just a lot of stuff for you to enjoy. And we make it all very inexpensive. As a matter of fact, you'll be able to purchase my book cheaper on my website than any other place out there. So that's pretty cool. So again, toddstearns.com. Get yourself a copy of the book. And tomorrow, we'll give you a chance to call in if you've had a chance to read the book, and you can review it live on the air. So that'll be kind of fun. All right, don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern, I'm going to have a lot more to say about the Kansas City Chiefs and these attacks on Catholics. Also, the very latest on the House Judiciary Committee voting to hold A.G. Garland in contempt. We'll be talking about that 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax 2. You can watch on YouTube and also Facebook Live. Get out there. Have a great day. You be good, America.